China's financial capital goes into lockdown. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The number of new confirmed cases of coronavirus in China are continuing to rise. Now the nation's largest city, home to 25 million people, has gone into isolation. But it's doing so in a way we haven't seen before. Residents in the eastern half of Shanghai have to stay at home for the next 5 days, while the western half of the city will shut down beginning on Friday. Marketplace's Jennifer Pack explains why officials have decided on a two-phased lockdown approach.
So Shanghai's officials have said that this is to reduce the economic impact. After all, Shanghai is a financial hub. But this is coming on top of all of these various lockdowns happening block by block, building by building over the last 2 weeks. So there are communities now that are still sealed and have been sealed for 2 weeks and haven't been out.
And this means that factory work is going to be suspended during the lockdown. Of course, there are big international companies with bases in Shanghai. I mean, we've seen the impact globally of lockdowns throughout this pandemic. What implications could that have for global supply chains, do you think?
Well, at the moment, it's not abundantly clear because it's possible that some of these factories get a pass to go ahead as long as they create what they call a bubble, like what was happening during the Beijing Olympics. So if the workers stayed on the plant site, if they slept there, if they ate there, and that they had done the PCR test in advance, maybe they are allowed to do that. And that certainly was what happened with Tesla during the rolling lockdowns here in Shanghai beforehand. But you have to remember, this is not just a manufacturing site. This is a financial center. And so there are lots of people now in the Pudong side, on the east side of the city, who can't go into the offices. A lot of them have already been working from home, but a lot of that is lost, you know, the face-to-face contact. And also a lot of these lockdowns happened very suddenly. So we weren't able to prepare in advance, myself included.
Marketplace's Jennifer Pack in Shanghai. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, that new lockdown is hitting global crude oil prices this morning as investors worry the impact it'll have on oil demand. The West Texas and Brent crude benchmarks are down about 3.5% at this hour to $109 and $116 a barrel. Checking some other numbers now, benchmarks across Asia ended their session mixed, while stocks here in Europe are up in the 0.3% to 1.6% range. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel today for a meeting with Israeli and Arab government officials. On the agenda has been the ongoing crisis in Ukraine and efforts to revive the Iran nuclear deal. From Jerusalem, the BBC's Yolan Nell reports.
This summit, near the farm where Israel's founding father David Ben-Gurion spent his last years, is full of symbolism, with so many top Arab officials attending. But there's substance too. Israel and three countries with which it recently normalized ties, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain and Morocco, as well as its neighbor Egypt, share concerns about Iran's regional ambitions and US-backed efforts to forge a new nuclear deal. Mr. Blinken will try to give assurances. He'll also be pushing for more support from U.S. allies to isolate Russia over its invasion of Ukraine.
That's the BBC's Yolan Nell reporting from Jerusalem there. Well, zooming in on Ukraine now, where the mayor of Mariupol says the southern city must be completely evacuated because of the humanitarian catastrophe caused by Russia's war. Vadim Boyachenko estimated about 160,000 civilians are still trapped in the besieged city. Since Russia's invasion about a month ago, nearly 4 million people have fled the country already. The BBC's Tamizin Ford spoke to businesses in Europe about how they're helping refugees.
36-year-old Ivanka fled Ukraine.
Oh, it was really painful.
Polish people have opened up their homes, their communities and their businesses to hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians. Ivanka, who's a social worker, told me the extraordinary story of how one woman, Dorota Baranska, came to host her and more than 700 refugees in her three hotels, including where Ivanka is staying, Hotel Maria, in the town of Volbshyk.
They have over 700 Ukrainian refugees. They give us food, housing, psychological help, first aid support, teachers, doctors, lots of volunteers, humanitarian support. I'm very deeply touched, if honestly to talk.
The UN's refugee agency has resisted establishing camps across the European Union. Instead, they're relying on the generosity of people like Dorota Baranska, who Ivanka talked about, and thousands like her, who have dropped everything to help Ukrainians.
So far, we have helped around 10,000 refugees.
Eugen Commandant is the chief operating officer at Bukhari Wineries Group, a luxury wine estate on Moldova's border with Ukraine. While Poland has the largest number of refugees, Moldova, one of the poorest countries in Europe with a population of just 2.5 million, has taken in more than 300,000 refugees. It means the burden in Moldova per capita is the highest. Eugen has transformed their entire chateau into a refugee centre.
We have provided accommodation to around 3,000 refugees. And the way we provide accommodation is not only at our Chateau Purcari, but also working with local hotels.
Hungary, Slovakia and Romania have also taken in hundreds of thousands of refugees. The European Union has granted Ukrainians a blanket right to stay and work throughout the 27 countries for up to 3 years. They also receive social welfare and access to housing, medical treatment and schooling for children. But the numbers are growing, along with the pressure on towns and cities who are hosting them.
That's the BBC's Tamsin Ford reporting there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.